الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to the Islamic Faith in Focus. I'm your host, Imam Hassan A. Amin. This program, or this Islamic studies class, is designed to present what the Islamic faith is and what it is not. I am not here to debate with anyone about my chosen faith, no more than I will go back and forth with you regarding any faith that you practice. I am unapologetic when it comes to the authentic rites and rituals of the faith of Islam. Please call your friends and let them know that Islamic studies class is about to begin. Also, do not forget to have your Quran near you, along with paper, pencil, pen, or some way of taking notes. By the way, those of you who have been attending this weekly Islamic studies class, welcome back to class. Those who are new listeners or new students, welcome to our weekly Islamic studies class. Today's topic really is more so an extension of a topic I talked about before, and is Islamic personality. And so let's start off with, and you all should have a copy of Quran near you. That's the last revelation sent to mankind from Allah. Allah sent various revelations to mankind. He sent the Bible, he sent the Torah, and sent the last revelation, other books too, and sent the last revelation, which is Quran, to mankind to guide. Because mankind, initially, okay, they do what they're supposed to do, follow the rules and regulations of Allah, and then they end up going astray. And then Allah sent guidance, and he sent a messenger to guide the people. One person, two persons, a person of people in a particular area. And the last messenger or prophet he sent to mankind, he was for all of mankind, for all times. He is the last messenger sent to mankind. After this, then there will be no more messengers. After him, there will be no more messengers, no more prophets. Anyone that claims that they are the prophet or the messenger, they are not telling the truth, because he is Khutb al-Nabiyin. He's the seal of the prophet or prophets. And so many prophets came before him: Moses, Jesus, Abraham, and many other, from Adam until Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him. And when we talk about Prophet Muhammad, we're talking about him telling us what is an Islamic personality. When you look at people, you say, okay, that person, their personality is this, or their personality is that. An Islamic personality should be very distinguished. You should be able to see it in the person's behavior. There's something different about that individual. He's not like, or she's not other people. They don't drink. They don't gamble. They don't have the girlfriend and boyfriends, because all these things are not allowed in Islam. They don't cheat people, and that's part of having an Islamic personality. Probably sometimes they surprise people. When, for example, if you went to a store or you bought something and they give you too much change. This is an example, Mithal. And they give you too much change. Say you gave them, for example, you gave them, they only supposed to give you back, say for example, maybe $3 from whatever the change is, wherever your money is. But they gave you $10 more, gave you $13. And so you look at it, you say, no, this is too much money. And looking at you very surprisingly, and you're like, what are you talking about? And so the thing is, you end up saying, no, you gave me $10 too much. And so you give that money to that individual, or that $10, because that $10 belongs to them, and it may even come out of their pocket. And it doesn't matter if it come out of their pocket or not at the end of the count, is that you are not truly being Islamic in your behavior or Muslim in your behavior if you know it's wrong, and you go ahead and cover it up, and by walking away and taking the wrong thing, or you ask for or from that person, you ask, for example, you ask for 6 oranges and they give you 7 or 8 oranges. You know, I only asked for 6 and they charge you for the 6. Don't charge you for the other 2 or 3, and you say, no, you gave me too much, or you gave me too many. So that's all part of Islamic behavior. It says in Quran, so at this point I want you all to turn to chapter 2, verse 208. Again, that's chapter 2, verse 208. And it says in this particular verse, and I'll read it, I think I'll read it in the English, just to save a little bit of time, but the Arabic is more pure, and that's where the Quran was revealed in the Arabic language. And so it says, O believers, enter into Islam wholeheartedly and do not follow Shaitan's footsteps. Surely, he is your sworn enemy. And that is true. Shaitan, Allah told the angels, and Shaitan was amongst the angels, and he said, bow down to Adam. And they all bowed down to Adam, not Shaitan. He said he was arrogant and said, I'm not going to bow down to that thing. And he went, and some scholars say he went inside. He was able to go inside, outside, go in one end of Adam and come out the other end. He said, this is nothing. I'm not bowing down to this. So he was the first one to be arrogant in the behavior. And then he said, like, he knew that he's in big trouble, that he was wrong. And so he said, Ya Allah, you know, basically, Allah, give me respite. Don't condemn me. And I will mislead the people, all but some of them. And Allah said, you'll be able to misguide some, but you won't be able to misguide all of them. There's always going to be a group of people that's going to stand up for what is right, enjoin what is right, and forbid what is wrong. There's always going to be a group of them, and I pray to Allah that I'm part of that group, and that you are, particularly you all are Muslim, that you become part of, that you are part of that group, and those who are not Muslim, that you embrace Islam, because you understand clearly what Islam truly is and the message of Islam, and you also will be part of that group that's going to stand up for what is right and forbid the wrong. And so Allah told Shaitan, okay, you can do this. And so you can go ahead and lead the people, mislead the people, but you won't be able to mislead all the people. And so Allah also saying here, he said, enter into Islam completely or wholeheartedly and do not follow the footsteps of Shaitan. Because he is going to mislead you. He is a sworn enemy of man. And that's his goal from the first man to the last man. He will go and he will whisper to us even when we're on our deathbed and say, don't believe in Allah. You're gonna be okay, whatever, these whispers in your ear to make you think you're safe. But Shaitan is going to bother you all the way to the end. That's his goal. To have as many of us as possible on his part of his entourage, if you will. And A'udhu Billah, seek refuge in Allah from the Shaitan. May Allah curse him and continue to curse him to the final day where mankind will be before Allah. And so I want to say to you all, Allah say, he said, don't follow the footsteps of Shaitan. So we don't follow the way of Shaitan. Is another ayah in the Quran, I believe in Surah Maryam, where it talks about how, I believe it's the Surah of Maryam, when a Shaitan will be asked, Shaitan will say, look, Allah, Okay, you do what you want with them. You have the power. You do whatever you want with those people who did what they're not supposed to do. And I did not mislead them. I did not make the personality that of like my own. Arrogant. Disobedient. I didn't make them do that, because Shaitan cannot make you do anything. He can whisper to you. He can say certain things to you, suggest things to you, but it's up to you to do it or to not do it. It's up to you. Some people call Shaitan the devil, same thing. It's up to you if you're going to do it or not do that thing. Which path are you going to follow? The path towards Allah or the path towards Shaitan? And so let's move on. We're talking about the personality of the personality of Islam, which is the opposite of the personality in a way of Shaitan. And so we have here, we're talking about purity and sincerity of intention. Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings upon him, he said, actions are but by intentions, and there is for every person only that which he intended. So he who migrates and was for Allah, migration was for Allah and his messenger. Then his migration was for Allah and his messenger. And he whose migration was to attain some worldly goal, or to take a woman or a man in marriage, then his migration was for that which he migrated. So you go in some place, you're doing some place, doing something in a place, you're going towards something, but you're not going there for the pleasure of Allah or for the Father, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. You may tell people you're going there, I'm going to follow Allah, do what Allah says, that kind of thing, or follow Prophet Muhammad, those kind of things. You may tell people that. But then when you go there, I'm really going to get money. I'm really going there to become rich. I'm going there for this woman. I'm going there for all these together, all these different things you're going there for, but you're not going there for the learn more about Allah. Learn more about Prophet Muhammad. I'm just giving an example when you're talking about migrating or going somewhere and why you're going to that place. So let's be very careful in what we do when you're talking about purity and sincerity of intentions. Because Allah knows. You can fool me as a man, but Allah knows why you went there and for what reason you went there. And if you're going there was to purify or your for sincerity, and Allah knows best in that area, and I don't know. Also, we talk about part of the makeup of the personality of a Muslim, for example, because we talk about this is Islamic class. You're learning about Islam in this class. I'm doing my best to make it as basic as possible. And some of you may be far advanced, maybe even more advanced than I am. But I'm just giving some basic information about Islam because a lot of people, Islam is very confusing. I don't understand it. It's new, and it has some strange things that the Muslims do. And so I'm just trying to explain to you what these things are and make more clear for you. When you talk about ajib, when you talk about something that is strange, I'm trying to make things not strange, and so you have a better understanding about Islam. And I oftentimes tell you all, when you come to class, as a reminder, whatever you understand or believe about Islam, please put that on the shelf. Put it in your, leave it in your car, wherever you're going to leave it, and put it in another room, because I want you to listen clearly. Because if you have these other ideas about Islam in your head, then you may not hear me clearly, and in your head, you may debate with everything that I'm saying. And so I don't want that to confuse you even more coming to class. I want you to be as clear as possible, as open as possible in your heart about what I'm talking about when I talk about and explain to you some of the basic information about Islam. And you can find out more about Islam. I may talk about that at the end. Go to the various masajids. That's a plural for a masjid. And you go there and you find out more about Islam from the leadership there, from the teachers there, from the scholars there, from the various ulama, or the learned ones at the various masajids. About Islam or about this particular topic that I'm talking about. So let me move on. So you talk about here, we're talking about another characteristic of the Muslim or part of their personality is gentleness. And the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessing upon him, he said, indeed, Allah is gentle and loves gentleness, and gives due to gentleness, that which he does not give due to harshness. So it's a special thing that Allah gives to gentle, or someone being gentle. Allah is gentle, and he wants to be gentle, and he loves gentleness. And he gives a special gift, if you will, to those individuals who are gentle. And so we should be gentle to, for example, towards our spouse, or towards our children, or towards our parents, for example, towards the elderly, and to the people who are poor, that kind of things. I'm just giving some examples of who we should be gentle towards. Well, for some people, some of these people I mentioned, maybe they don't experience gentle or kindness, and they will welcome that. And for example, Umar, who was the second Khalifa of Islam and the third leader of the Muslim, and I'm not saying the other leaders of the Muslim were not this by the long stretch of the imagination, they were not that at all. They were not opposite of what I'm getting ready to say. I'm just picking one of the companions of the Prophet, may peace be upon him, that he was very kind towards, not just towards and respectful towards those who were in leadership position. He was also respectful and loving towards those people who were not in leadership positions. And so what do I mean by that? There's an example where he was with some leaders. I'm just kind of paraphrasing this. He was with some leaders, and so what happened is that you have people, sort of like servants, if you will. They brought out a large tray of food for those who were sitting there. Umar, it's a sort of a custom of sort of what you call custom there. And so, in the area, you go have a lot. The time this happened, we go to a person's house. They may give you some shade, some tea, and some maybe some bread or something to eat. And so they offer him some food, a large tray of food. And so they were brought out by these servants. And then the servants stood off to the side, while Umar and the other ones were around this plate getting ready to eat. And so Umar, he looked at the servants and they said, well, basically, like, what's happening here? Why? How come they're not eating? And so he invited them over to in his place and let them eat. So that was a beautiful thing about this particular man. He was showing his kindness and gentleness towards these servants. And so that was a very beautiful thing that he did towards a servant. And he had other examples of him and the companions, and how nice and kind they were towards those people who were less than they were, if you will, in terms of their stature. Abu Bakr, who was the second leader of the Muslims, first Khalifa of Islam, And then during the time of Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessings be upon him, is that he, one of the brothers, which was Bilal ibn Rabah, he was a slave. And so he was an Ethiopian slave. And his master used to treat him very, very cruel, harsh. He wasn't gentle and kind towards him. And so Abu Bakr, he went to the master of the Bilal. The master was, like I said, very, very harsh toward him. And he said, you know, basically, you know, is he for sale? I will buy him. And he's not buying him so he could be his slave, Abu Bakr's slave. He buying him so that he could be free, period. This Muslim. Because once the slave master found out that Bilal was a Muslim, then he wanted to really beat the Muslim out of him. And Bilal still would not give it up. Even when he placed this big stone or rock, whatever, on his chest, he still said, Ahud, Ahud. He was saying one, that he's not giving up this Islam for this man, no matter how he treated him. And so they bargained back and forth, and then Abu Bakr say one price, and then the master say another price, Abu Bakr say another price, then he said another price, and then Abu Bakr finally said, okay, then I will buy it for that, whatever the price is, I will buy it. So he bought Bilal, and freed Bilal. And so the man said, the former slave owner, he said, look, I would have sold him for less than what you paid. And then Abu Bakr, he said, well, I would have paid more than what you asked for this man. And so that's a beautiful thing about him also showing gentleness and kindness for one that, I guess, it was seemed like he was underneath him. He was gentle and kind towards his slave, and then Umar was gentle and kind towards those people who brought out the servants, who brought the food out to them. And I want to emphasize to you all to be gentle and kind to others. Those people who you may think or you may feel, and they may feel the same thing, that you are greater than them, better than them, whatever, and they may be better than you in their piety, in their service to Allah, you just never know. For example, when you go to a hotel, and maybe many of you go to a hotel and you stay at various hotels, you may have people that are doing housekeeping, the ones that make the beds and clean your room and that kind of thing. I'm just using them for an example. And so you just walking down the hall, with or without your bag in you, they're cleaning another room, whatever, give me a clean your room. Then you just say good morning to them, sabah al khayr, or good evening, or whatever it is to those individuals, and give them a smile, an appreciation for the work that they do. It's not going to hurt you to do that, to smile towards an individual. And as a matter of fact, Islamically, there's blessing in giving a charity and a person smiling at an individual. And so I'm just emphasizing to you all to show kindness towards other people. That's part of the Islamic spirit. And the shaping of the Muslim, for example, is that we have that Islamic personality and that we show gentleness and kindness towards other individuals. But you all get the meaning of what I'm saying without me going through more examples. Also, part of a Muslim personality, you're talking about being responsible or responsibility. And what do I mean about in terms of responsibility? Let me give you some examples from the saying of Prophet Muhammad when you're talking about a Muslim being responsible. And so it was mentioned by the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, he said, each one of you is a guardian and is responsible for those whom he is in charge of. So the ruler is a guardian and is responsible for his subjects. A man is a guardian of his family and is responsible for those underneath his care. A woman is a guardian of her husband's home and is responsible for those under her care. A servant is the guardian of his master's wealth and is responsible for that which he is entrusted with. And a man is a guardian of his father's wealth and is responsible for what is under his care. So each one of you is a guardian and is responsible for what he is entrusted with. So I won't go through this whole thing because it's a lot to unpack, but you can listen to this particular episode again about when you're talking about being responsible and what each individual is responsible for, as I laid out here. And that's part of the responsibility of a Muslim, to care for a husband, to care for his wife and for those members of his family, the household, and for, as I mentioned here, the woman is responsible for the household, and also the man is responsible for the wealth of his family, that sort of thing. And so I, as a husband, responsible for my wife and my children. No matter how many wives I have or how many children I have, I'm responsible for all of them. My wife do not have to work a day in her life if she doesn't want to. I mentioned this before, and that whatever money she earns is her money. And whatever money I earn is her money too, because I am supposed to take care of her. Allah made it that the man is the way, is the protector and provider of the woman, of the family. And so that's my responsibility. If she want to help, that's okay. She can do that. But the thing is, she doesn't have to help out at all towards the household. Whatever money, she can spend her money in whatever way she wants to. But I'm responsible, and men out there listening to me, you're responsible for taking care of your individual family. Now, you may, well, woman wants to help out. All right, that's for her. She wants to help out. She can help out if she wants to. But it's a man's responsibility to provide for his family, and not making the man, the woman any less because she's not provided. She wants to pay a bill. All right, she go right ahead. It's her money. Do it if she wants with it. But if she doesn't want to, then again, it's her money. She doesn't have to. And that I have the responsibility of taking care of my household and taking care of my family. That is my responsibility for me to do. And also, of course, to train my sons to do the same thing when they grow up and they have households, and they're also supposed to take care of their family. So look at the, we're talking about a Muslim personality, and we're not supposed to harbor any type of envy. And it mentioned two types we can harbor, or we can have inside of us. The Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, said, there is to be no envy except with regard to two. If I want to be envy, these are the two I can be envious about. A man whom Allah has given wealth, which he strives to spend righteously, and a man to whom Allah has given the wisdom, meaning Quran and other things, and he acts according to it and teaches it to others. So I want to be jealous, if you will, of somebody, a man who Allah given wealth to, and he spends his wealth in Allah's cause. A man who has knowledge, Quran knowledge, other knowledge, and he teaches it to other people and acts upon Quran. I want to be like that individual. I want to be like the man who has to have the knowledge, for example, of the deen of Islam, of Quran. I want to be like that individual. I'm going to be jealous of that individual. And the same thing, you're talking about a man who has money and he spends it in the right way. feeding people, building masjid and helping people out kind of thing, is to spend it righteously and giving money that his right hand, though his left hand is doing. Okay, I want to be like that person. If I'm going to be jealous, I'll be jealous of that individual and not be jealous because a person looks good, have a nice house. I'm jealous of that individual or a person, for example, online and they have all these things. I want all these things like that person has. That person have all these things and they're doing it for the pleasure of Allah, then yes, I want to do it. They have the knowledge, I want to be like them. But and also if they have the Quran, the meaning, the knowledge, I want to be like them, or they have the wealth, I want to be envious of those two people. Now, to find out and to learn more about the Islamic faith and increase your knowledge of Islam, you go to Why Islam. You go to this International Online University and American Open University. You have been attending the Islamic Faith in Focus class. I have been your instructor, Imam Hassan Ayamin. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.